Well, what a God we have, amen? He's incredible to His people. His compassions, they do not fail, do they? Amen. Thank the Lord for His goodness. Take your Bibles this morning, Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, we have been dealing with taking our subject matter the last 3 weeks from verse number 5 of Galatians 6 that says, every man shall bear his own burden. And we're dealing with kind of rediscovering personal responsibility. I've heard from many of you since we started preaching on this, and some of us are, we look around and we see the time in which we live is a time far different than a generation or two ago that taught some, even in a secular sense, some self-reliance of being responsible for your own business and taking care of your own business. And now we're living in a culture where everybody thinks somebody else is supposed to pick up their load. They're looking for as easy a ride as possible, no matter how much others are burdened for their ease. And so if anybody's leading the way for carrying out biblical principles of personal responsibility, it ought to be the church, amen? It ought to be, we can understand why the world does crazy things, but I'm gonna tell you what, the church ought to be functioning like a group of people that's got some sense. Like got a right mind. Remember, that's one of those things Christ gives, our right mind. He puts us in a right mind. He gives us truth to guide us through the way. And so he calls for personal responsibility in many areas. And we've talked about that. Everybody's got to carry your own weight. You got to bear your own burden. There's some things in life nobody can take care of you for you. You got to make your own decisions. You can't blame everybody else in culture and parents and governments for your plight in life, my friend. You got to make your own choices. You're responsible for your own choices as I am. And so we talked about being personally responsible for our faculties, and then we talked about being personally responsible for our failures. That's a big one, amen? So oftentimes, that's one of the most difficult things for us socially and God to get people just to own up to what we've done. It's amazing we run from God in so many ways because He already knows what we've done. He knows what we're thinking right now. Some of y'all thinking, I'm telling you what, I knew I shouldn't have come this morning. But we got to be responsible for our failures. And the moment we become responsible and deal with those biblically, spiritually, own up to them socially, the moment we began to make great strides to rebuilding human relationships and restoring spiritual relationship. You got to be responsible for those. And then we got talked about last week being personally responsible in the area of our faith. And that is, nobody's going to grow you for you. God's invested His Word, His Spirit in you. God has surrounded you with brothers and sisters in Christ. And my friend, you got to be personally responsible. Nobody's going to baby feed you the rest of your life. You want to grow as a Christian, then friend, you got to follow the same route all the rest of us. You got to read your own Bible. You got to do your own praying. You got to be faithful to the church services. You got to surround yourself with some godly men or godly women. And then you got to get after it. Amen. You want to grow? Then you got to be responsible for that. Don't be whining 10 years and 20 years from now saying, oh, I just wished I was as strong a Christian as you. Then, my friend, get down to business with God and start eating right and exercising spiritually, and you will grow. But those are old messages. I came here to preach to you the fourth and final area in which we are called to be personally responsible. My friend, we are this morning personally responsible for our own future. We are called to bear a burden, he says, every one of us. And part of that burden is, where am I going? What will things be like a year from now? How different will they be? How different will I be 5 years? What will happen in my career? What will happen in my spiritual growth? What will happen in my marriage? Will it be the same old bag of bones dragging on from year to year? Or will it be better? Will it be growing? Will it be distinctively moving forward on a good track? My finances, my debt situation. Am I continually being a fool? Am I acting like a godless world that doesn't have good marbles upstairs to make right decisions? I've been burnt by debt before. Am I going to continue to make same stupid mistakes, or am I going to learn so that my 5 and 10 year down the road don't look like today? You see, my friend, to affect your future, you have to make decisions today, right now. Listen, my friend, it doesn't matter what you do with this service. I promise you, you're going to do something with it. I'm going to sow it in your life, and you're going to do what you will with it. But I promise you, based on your decision today, it will affect your tomorrows. And you're responsible for it. You got to deal and say, where am I going to be in the future? My friend, you make those decisions today. And we learn that from these verses. Look at it, if you will, these most popular, well-renowned verses from Galatians. Look at it, verse number 7. Be not deceived. You know what God's saying? Don't fool yourself or kid yourself. Don't let somebody lie to you, and don't lie to yourself. What I'm about to tell you is going to emphatically, without question, affect you whether you want to or not, whether you believe it or not. This is a fact. Do not deceive. Be deceived. God is not what? Mocked. In other words, God's about to tell you something, and it's as if Psalms 2 says they're rebelling against God, and he that sits in the heaven, he laughs at it. Because truth's going to be truth no matter whether you embrace it or not. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we look at this text, as most of us have heard messages time and time again from these particular verses, I tell you, outside the gospel itself, I don't believe there's a more important message that needs to be preached in every church in all across this nation than these verses that we find here. These verses apply to you whether you're lost or whether you're saved. These verses of applying sowing and reaping and what we decisions we make today, how they affect and we prepare us for what we'll meet in the future are without question. And so as we lay these down, I quite often on a regular basis use these at the prison because I believe that, listen, young men need to hear these messages that they've missed their whole life and they're wondering why everything is so bad now. It's because of what they sowed in the past. And if they ever want anything different, then they got to learn this law of sowing and reaping and learn the law that we must be responsible for our future. Well, Paul is making the case in Galatians is the same message that Moses made the book of Deuteronomy. He's preparing a new generation that's about to inherit the blessings of God. They're about to inherit something they haven't known. All they've known their whole life is dry wilderness, desert, and watching their fathers die off. Now they're about to go in and have plenty and blessing. And the warning over their life is God is setting before you two choices for your future. He's talking to them in the present, but he's saying you better make your decision right now for what kind of future that you want. Chapter 30 says, I lay before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose it. Choose life. Choose blessing that your days may be prolonged. In other words, the decisions they made then were going to affect their future. Watch what he says in Deuteronomy 32, 47. Just listen to this verse from Moses. For it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life. It is your life. And through this thing you shall prolong your days in the land where you go over Jordan to possess it. What Moses is saying is, don't fall asleep during this point. Don't miss this climactic information I'm giving you. It's not a light thing. It's not a slight thing. It's not a fringe issue. He says, this is your life. And I'm telling you what, there used to be that show when I was a kid, come on, this is your life, and they would surprise some celebrity, and they'd go back, and they would bring out all these different individuals or take them down memory lane of all these particular things in their past, and they would say, carry them down to reflect of what their life has been. To the contrary, Galatians 6 and 7 and 8 and Moses' message is bringing our attention and saying, this is your life. What kind of life do you want? Because you can make decisions today that will allow you to predict your future, watch this, with a mathematical accuracy. See, in math, numbers don't lie. It's always going to be. You put the right numbers in the equations, it's always going to equal based upon, your sum is always going to be based upon what you plug into the equation. And God Almighty says, You can predict your future with a mathematical calculation based upon what he writes here in Galatians 6, 7, and 8. You see, people are always stopping. It's amazing how often, you know, used to a palm reader or a soothsayer or a fortune teller, those were just some kook in some, you know, far off place in some stranded place in Georgia. But now, friend, they're everywhere. People are looking for answers. What? Tell me my future. Tell me what's going to come to pass. Look at my palms and look at all the things. I'm telling you, friend, y'all may not know this, but I can read your future. I don't have to look at your palms. I don't have to look at a crystal ball. Just let me look at your life a little bit. Let me see the decisions you're making with your today, and I promise you, I can predict your tomorrow. The scripture says, listen, you can take what you're doing today and you can calculate where you're going to be from tomorrow. And I want to tell you what, this law of sowing and reaping works for you and it works against you. That's the good thing. See, we are all constantly sowing and reaping, and God says, here's the principle to tell you where you're going to be a year, 5 years, 20 years, 60 years from now. And it don't just come in a whim. It doesn't come in some mystery form. It comes based on the decision that you are making right now, predicting your future. You see, where our future is in our hands. We're making future. And there's all kind of allusions when you're reading this text and you're finding, well, what particular sowing and reaping does this have to do with? You see, it applies to a tremendous amount of different things. And my friend, listen, you're sowing in your future health today. Based on what I eat today, I'm going to pay for it or be blessed by it tomorrow. Amen? Y'all didn't get that. That's why we gave you one donut last Sunday. Amen? And not a dozen. We love you. And so here, what you do financially, you invest today, you'll see it and you'll reap it down the line. Here he talks about caring for others and ministering to others. And when you do, listen what God will do. I better not use that one. I'll get in trouble. But anyway, when you're doing something, there's sometimes some things you're going through and you have a habit that, listen, this is not going to really affect me. Some other Joe, it may have to affect him. And so, but I want to tell you what, on a regular basis, I say, you know what? Yeah, it's not going to affect me. I'm here and I'm gone tomorrow, but it's going to affect the next guy. But the law of sowing and reaping is going to apply to me. And if I shortcut something that affects somebody else, and I can expect somebody to shortcut something that I'm going to be on the recipient end. And so he talks about sowing financially, sowing ministry, all these different facets that are all going to predict our future. So let's talk about this for just a moment. In Luke chapter 16, Jesus gave us a parable that highlighted this when he talked about the unjust steward. Remember, he had been dealing falsely with his Lord's money and he realized he had been doing unjustly and the Lord was about to put him. He's about to fire him. He says, all I've done is bookkeeping all my life. And he said, what am I going to do? I can't go work on the hand. I don't know about anything about manual labor, and I'm too ashamed to go beg. So he said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to my master's. I'm going to cut all his debtors' bills in half and so forth and lessen those and get those paid off so that when I get fired, having done them a good deed, they'll receive me. And Jesus paid note not to commend unrighteous dealings, but he said this, he says, the unrighteous are many times wiser. The children of this world are wiser than the children of light. Why? What was the point of the message? The point of the message was this, making decisions now, knowing my decisions now will affect me in my future. He was making his future plans based upon the decisions that he was applying right then. So we're working through these truths to see how do these apply on a regular basis to make sure I'm living for my future. I am being accountable and personally responsible for my future to come. So let's talk about what I call the laws of the harvest. Laws of the harvest. If some of y'all have some notes in your Bible from many, many years ago, I don't know how it's been. I've been here 14 years. Could have been anywhere along the line. But I know I've presented these at some point, and I should present them every year because I'm telling you what, they're some of the most critical truths you'll ever keep under your hat through your daily life. So let's talk about these four laws of the harvest that are implanted in this particular text and with these rules here that we find here in verse number 7 and 8. There are four laws of the harvest. Now, I'm not a farmer. I don't know a lot about farming, but I know a little bit. Somebody gave me a styrofoam cup when I was a little kid, and they gave me a little pot and sow and a bean, and I stuck it in there and put it down in the cup. And guess what? Something came up. I mean, a plant burst forth. Now, that's about the extent of all outside planting grass. That's about the extent of my farming. But you know what? A lot of the things that are drawn from the farming aspect make sense. They're simple. We can all get it. And these four laws are simple. And if you'll learn them, my friend, you can maybe for a long time begin to take personal responsibility for where you're going in your future, because these laws apply to you whether you know them or not. Number one, here's the simple principle. The first law of the harvest is this: you reap what you sow. Let's say that together. You reap what you sow. One more time. You reap what you sow. The emphasis is on what. You will reap what you sow. That's the emphasis. And so he talks about flesh and he talks about spirit. You shall sow flesh, you reap of flesh. You sow to the spirit, you reap of the spirit. So you're always reaping what you sow. Romans 8 put it this way in verse number 6, to be carnally minded is death. Why? Because our flesh is dying. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Why? Because the Holy Spirit of God, His very nature is life. His very nature is peace. And so you always reap what you sow. Now, this is important to notice because we sometimes live in a fairy tale land. We have these simple principles. I'll tell you what, these principles are about as practical as you can get. Now, there's a mystery to this sowing and reaping because God is at work in all this sowing and reaping, and there's a mystery behind it. But I want to tell you what, it is also beyond mysterious. It is predictable. It is practical that you reap what you sow. There's a definition of insanity given that you've heard, most of you've heard. The definition of insanity is to keep doing the same thing in the same way, yet expecting a different result. That's insanity. And I want to tell you, we got some insane people in this church. We got some insane folks. They wonder, why is this bad? Why am I having all this? Because you're still doing the same dumb stuff. Why am I overwhelmed with credit card bill? Why am I over? Because you use that thing. Why is my marriage still a pot? Because you won't take any marriage classes and you won't stick with the principles of truth. Well, why is it? Well, all of these things come to pass when we keep doing the same thing the same way, expecting different results. You know, I've heard there's old cliches that we get fooled by. There's an old cliche that says, well, with time, things get better with time. You know what? That's a lie. Not all things get better with time. I know people that have been cooking for over 20 years. And they were a bad cook 20 years ago. Now you read the rest of the line. Time doesn't change everything. Everything doesn't get better with time. No, that's insanity to keep doing the same thing the same way. Well, one day it's probably going to work out. You know, it's like that evolution thing. Give it enough time. Give me 500 billion years and maybe over time everything will come to say like evolution teaches. Well, my friend, just as much as evolution is a hoax, that's a hoax as well. It's insanity. Here's what most people do in this era. See, God says you will always reap what you sow, what you sow. But here's what people do. They make two fatal flaws. The first kind of mindset says this: I'm going to sow bad, but I'm going to pray, oh God, don't let that one come up. God, I know I said that and that was ugly and I shouldn't, but God, please don't let me reap nothing from that. God, I know I did that and God, that's not wrong. And Lord, I want you to figure, but please don't let that bear fruit. And God says, you're going to reap what you sow. If you sow it, my friend, mark her down. She's coming up. There's a second fatal flaw, and that is not only sow and pray for no harvest, but there's others who sow. They don't sow anything, yet they pray for good harvest. It's amazing to me how, you know, you can watch even individuals around this church, and you can see people who apply the Spirit of God and the Word of God to everything they do. They apply it to their marriage. They apply it to their finances. They apply it to their work ethic. They apply it to their ministry. They apply it to their citizenship. And you see how God has His hand on how He blesses them. And we see that. And sometimes people find that admirable and they admire that and they really would like that. But they don't want to sow, but they'd sure like to reap. You know, it's kind of like sometimes I see these guys and they're all in shape and they brag on how many calories they can eat. Brother Ed always bragging how many calories he can eat. Why? Because he'll ride his bike for 20 miles. Well, I'd say, man, I'd sure like some of them calories. But then I think, I ain't riding 20 miles on a bicycle. So the reality is you can many people do that spiritually, and they say, you know, I would love to have the reaping, I just don't want to do no sowing. And my friend, you're living in denial, because you will only reap in direct correlation to what you sow. So we reap what we sow. Jesus taught that. You want to affect your future? What kind of house you want? What kind of home you want? You want a home that's built solid on the rock that all the storms can't blow over? Then build it on my word. Listen to what I teach you and do it. You want to ignore my word now in time and ignore it and not obey it? You're building your house. Oh, you can make it pretty, but you're building on the sand and it's going to fall. So it's always the decisions I make today that are affecting what I will meet in the future. You ought to reap what you sow. There's a second law of the harvest, and that is this. You not only reap what you sow, you reap where you sow. Let's say that together. You reap where you sow. One more time. You reap where you sow. See, that's important. Because sometimes we think, and we live in, again, a place of denial where we think, well, I'm doing some good over here. Why ain't I seeing any fruit over here? I mean, I'm the best builder in this county, but my family's falling apart. You know, I've served this country. I'm a great soldier. And man alive, I can go out and I can do extraordinary things on the battlefield, but I can't fight off hell around my marriage. It's unbelievable. My dad, oh, people would come up and tell me, man, your dad, he's a charismatic guy. He's a nice guy, an incredible salesman and all this. And I'm just sitting there and said, yeah, he's good at that. See, the reality is you only reap where you sow. See, verse number 2 says, teaches us, and we'll talk about in the weeks to come, bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Verse number 10 tells us, as you've therefore had opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially them who are of the household of faith. What is he saying? You'll reap where you sow. I'm going to tell you this, church. You can be one of the most faithful church members. You can be one of the most fantastic leaders in this church that we rely upon. And you can sow, even in this church, you can sow here. But if you're not sowing in your marriage, you ain't going to reap in your marriage what you sow here. Amen. Oh, you'll reap here. Oh, you'll see tremendous things. You'll see things that happen because of your efforts and energies and contributions. But my friend, you can't expect to sow here and it's going to show up in your parenting. It's going to show up in your marriage. It's going to show up in your job. My friend, if you come here acting like a saint and you go to your job and act like a helling, I promise you, you ain't going to reap there what you sow here. You with me? Because the law won't allow it. There ain't no way, my friend, that I can go over and start come to the churchyard and plant a bunch of watermelon over here. And boy, I love me some watermelon. Plant those watermelons and then sit back on my back porch and watch my yard waiting for something to pop up. Why? Because of a fundamental law. You only reap where you sow. And so listen, God has to help us. God has to help us to keep this in mind so that we're not just smart, we're wise. Because I see a lot of guys, man alive, they say, preacher, I'm in shape. And you know, you can always tell when the guy's working out, right? He wears his two sizes too small. And then they always like to point you directions so they can, you know, flex and show you what's going on. Sad thing is, I know guys that are fit physically and wimpy spiritually, spineless spiritually, pathetic, anemic spiritually. Why? Because you're only going to reap where you sow. And so God is calling us to understand this law. Don't mock God and don't be deceived. You'll only reap where you sow. Jesus, that's why he said in the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 21, he says, so are those who lay up treasure for themselves, but they're not rich toward God. You know what we find out in the scripture? That tides get turned many times in eternity. Those who had all the wealth and all this here and had every need met, they get to heaven, they're a pauper. They get to stand before God, and they're either judged for eternity or God says you'll suffer loss. Why is those who sowed here not only rich in this world, but were more concentrated on being rich toward God? He says, one day you're laying it up, 1 Timothy 6, and you'll meet that treasure one day. And so you only reap where you sow. I'll never forget and still try to keep it as the aim of my life and ministry. I'll never forget a pastor told me when I first got into the ministry, he said, Scott, whatever you do, I know you got a zeal for God. I know you got a zeal for his word. I know you love people. I know you're a soul winner, all those things. But be careful. Make sure you don't forsake pastoring your own family while you're pastoring the church family. And I want to tell you, under God, I still have a clean conscience this morning before you because I've tried to love my children, love my wife, and invest in them and making sure that I wasn't just sowing at the church and somehow everybody knows my name and everybody can get a kind word or everybody can get a prayer except for those who rely upon me the most. My friend, you will reap only where you sow. You want a better marriage? Sow there. You want to be a better parent? Sow there. You want to grow spiritually? Sow there. You reap where you sow. Let me give you a third law of the harvest. It's really simple. We all know this. You not only reap what you sow and where you sow, but you always reap more than you sow. Say that with me. You reap more than you sow. One more time. You reap more than you sow. This is the most powerful part of this principle. Because see, it works for you or it works against you. He says, if you sow to the flesh, you reap corruption, death, ruin. You sow to the Spirit, you reap life everlasting. He's not just talking about eternity. He's talking about the value of enjoyable, full, abundant life as Christ promises. See, you sow a decision, you sow an act, you sow a deed, but you always reap more. Just like a kernel of corn, you put it in the ground, you don't get kernel for kernel. You put a kernel in the ground and it dies and you reap a stalk full of ears. And on those ears, hundreds of kernels. You always reap more than you sow. It's the fundamental principle of sowing and reaping. It's a powerful rule. If we'll learn this one, church, we're going to leave here empowered. Because sometimes we get to thinking about reaping what we sow, it becomes heavy, it becomes burdensome. We got to think, man alive, I'm going to spend the rest of my life reaping on that. But listen, you got to realize this law works for you as well as against you, for both the good as well as the bad. And so when you follow down a way where sin is sown, you sow to the flesh and you commit sin, mark her down. I promise you, the old saying is still true. Sin will take you farther than you intended to go, keep you longer than you wanted to stay, and cost you more than you ever wanted to pay. Well, it's just one time, preacher. I promise you, that one time will cost you. Well, it's just a moment, preacher, just a weak moment. Well, I promise you, that weak moment's going to cost you dearly. Because what you sow, you're always going to reap more than you sow. But it works positively as well. I mean, here God is calls us and says, listen, it's also when you sow right, when you sow good. In fact, Jesus, in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, they're talking about power. How do we get all this power? And Jesus says, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can move a mountain. Now think about that. Compared to a seed to a mountain, that's a lot more, isn't it? You sow a seed, you can move a mountain. See how this works for you? So see, when you're sowing bad seed and you're reaping, man, you're just sowing, well, it's just this one time this week and this time this day and this moment, and before long you're looking at your yard full and your living room full of all the reaping of hurt and pain and death, as the scripture described, from carnality. And so somewhere along the line, you hear a message, or Holy Spirit of God stirs your conscience, and all of a sudden you realize, man alive, I'm killing myself. I'm killing myself. I got to make some changes. There's a powerful thing about this law of sowing and reaping. The moment you turn and begin to make us, sometimes we dig a hole, ourselves in a hole. How many of y'all have ever dug yourself in a hole? Y'all ever dug yourself in a hole? And you're looking at the top and you're thinking, ain't no way I'm ever going to get out of this hole. Some of you dug yourself in a hole relationally. You've dug yourself in a hole financially. You dug your hole spiritually. I've met too many, and they're in this hole, and they can barely see the light of the day, and they're saying, you know what? There's really no sense in trying. There's no sense in trying to be a godly husband or godly wife. There's really no sense in I've dug myself so deep, there's no sense in trying. I'll never get out of this hole. No sense in trying. I might as well keep charging my life up and just leave the debt with my kids and my grandkids. Because I'm so far, I'll never get out. Spiritually, I've hurt God so much that there's no sense. I can never rise as where I once was. And we get to seeing it. But remember this. Remember this compounded and propounded interest that God adds to your decision. Because when you sow the flesh, yes, you reap an ocean of corruption. But when you start sowing to the Spirit, imagine it. The moment you turn, the moment you begin to make a right decision, the moment you say, I'm going to take this right step. Listen, you don't only get that one step. It's not one ring in the ladder to get out of the hole. God says, when you sow the little, I come along. I add my much to your little. I take your simple step and I add my abundance of grace, my abundance of power, my abundance, and I will move mountains for you if you'll sow the little. If you'll do the right, I'll let you reap the great. Isn't that incredible? I'm telling you what, I've been there too many times and gotten those holes that I'm not going to get out. And I began to trust God, repent to God, make right decisions. And my friend, God would blow, he's blown my mind so many times. I look back and say, God, how did I get out of that hole? How did I get out of that? If it weren't for your grace and this principle that you reap more than you sow. Is that not what happened with Adam? He sowed one bad decision. The Bible says by one man sin into the world and death by sin. But Romans 5 comes along and says, but Jesus came along and by him, by one man, by his one sacrifice, his one death on the cross, he's brought righteousness and life to those who trust him. Jesus said it himself, Matthew 12, unless a corn of wheat falls in the ground, it dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth what? Much fruit. The one death on Calvary. The one cross, the one sacrifice, the one righteous Lamb of God. Think about that. All the sinners in the world, all the sinners and ungodly on the planet, here is one Savior dying on a cross by himself, resurrected the third day, and you and I get forgiveness and mercy and get into the family of God and know eternal life. By his one investment, my friend, we all get to live. We always reap more than we sow. Let me give you the final law, and we're done. You not only reap what you sow and where you sow, and always more than you sow, but the Bible tells us we reap later than we sow. Simple principle, right? You don't plant something in the ground and then you sit over and say, well, it ain't coming up, it must have failed. You know, people are that dumb. We're that dumb spiritually. We know it don't work with seed. You don't put seed in the ground and says, honey, it ain't coming up. Yet I know so many people, they'll say, you know, preacher, I'm going to start doing the right thing. And they make it a day. Maybe a week. And they're like, preacher, it ain't no use. It ain't working. It ain't working. Don't be deceived. That's why he said don't be deceived. Because we're ignorant. We fool ourselves. Listen to the principle. You always reap. What? Later than you sow. Say that with me. You reap later than you sow. Look at it, verse number 10. As we have therefore opportunity, verse number 9. And let us not be what? Weary. You know what that means? Don't give up. Don't get tired. You don't give it a day. You don't give it a week. That's not how the law of the harvest works. Do not be weary in well doing. Don't give up. Don't stop. When you make right decisions, trust the laws, trust the truth, trust it for your future. For in, what's that next word? Due season. Now guess who gets to control the due? You don't control the due. We're not the Lord. God says, but in due season, watch this, you shall reap if we faint not. What's he saying? You always reap later than you sow. That's the way it works, right? You always reap later than sow. And this works, again, both ways. You know, Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse number 11 gives us an important principle when it comes to sin. It says this, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of man is fully set on them to do evil. You know what it means? It says this, just because God doesn't send down lightning bolts every time you make a wrong decision, every time you sin, the wicked are emboldened in their sin. In other words, they say, see, I said that, and see, I did that, and I didn't get struck by lightning. And so it emboldens them to continue to make bad decisions. But the Bible says, the wheels of God's justice, they may move slowly, but know this, they move surely. He says, it's coming. Just because the sentence is delayed don't mean the sentence ain't coming. See, we think, well, I'm getting away with it. I'm getting away with it. And all of a sudden, we're face to face with our sin and its consequences. Oh, nobody will do it. Nobody will miss it. David, I can wash this thing. Man, I can end this thing tomorrow. And then here comes the baby. Here comes a dead man. Here comes the loss of moral authority. My friend, it always payday comes later. You sow today, but you reap later. You ain't got away with anything. Many times I get the question, how can God let all these evil people get away with so much? You know my response? They ain't getting away with nothing. Because there's only one or two things. Either one day payday's coming. They're going to pay for it a lot in this world. They're going to pay for it in hell for sure. And the only other option is they come to their senses, trust Christ that he paid for it on the cross, and they receive forgiveness of sin and mercy of God. But it's going to be paid for. Oh, God's going to deal with it because you always reap later than you sow. It works positive as well. See, today we're making decisions that are going to affect us for good or for bad tomorrow. By the way, can I tell you this? This year, I'm going to be married 25 years. Married off two youngins. You still got one getting him through college, praying for that. And one fixed turned 16. Been at church 14 years. A ministry I love, people I love dearly. I'm just telling you, I'm a blessed man. I'm a blessed man. I sit here, stand here today, a blessed man. Following Christ 28 years, I am a blessed, blessed man. But can I tell you why I'm so blessed today? I'm blessed today not because of the decision I made today. See, I'm reaping today. But see, reaping don't come the same day you sow it. I'm reaping today, Brother Larry, from choices I made last year, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 28 years ago. I'm reaping today. I mean, the garden's coming up. I'm enjoying life today because decisions I made yesterday, and I'm liking it. I was sitting there worshiping a while ago, and I was just sitting there fanning through all the things that God, and I said, hallelujah, God, you're so good. You're so good. And I'm sitting here with a harvest that the God has reaped in my life, and he's brought faithfully to pass just like he said he would. I'm enjoying it, but I want to tell you what, I like it so much, I want some more of it. So I can't get calloused. I can't get cold. I can't get so caught up in what I'm enjoying and forget where I got it from and forget the decisions that got me here, the decisions that I made for good, the decisions that I turned away for evil, the decisions I made for you involved me today. And if I want them next year and 5 years and 10 and 20 years from now, then I got to make a decision today for my future. And you can't make it for me. I got to make it for me. And I can't make it for you. You got to make it for you. Where are you going to be? Let me ask you, what kind of garden you got right now? Is it good? You feasting today? You enjoying today? It's because you made right decisions. Are you miserable today? You got some things in your life that are just crummy. I mean, they're just a plague on your life. Well, what are you going to do about it? Now, yesterday's gone. You can't do anything about yesterday. You can get forgiveness, though. You can get healing. And you can wise up to the principles of the laws of sowing and reaping. And you can guarantee. Watch this now. You can guarantee. Preacher, how do you know if I start doing this, it's going to work out? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. That's how I know. Because you always reap what you sow. You always reap where you sow. You always reap more than you sow. And without a doubt, we always reap later than we sow. What are you going to do with a message like that? What are you going to do with those principles? Because here's the thing, you don't get to decide and I don't get to decide, well, I'm just not going to sow. No, you're sowing. You started sowing when your eyes woke up this morning. You already started sowing. You sowed with your speech. See, in your speech is the power of life and death. You decided whether you're going to rush out this morning or you're going to spend some time with God. You've already been sowing. You see what I'm saying? And you're going to sow all through the, you don't get to opt out of sowing. We're all sowing and we're all reaping. It's just the difference of what we're sowing and what we're reaping. We must be personally responsible for our future. And can I tell you this, my friend? Death's coming to all of us. Death's coming. When death comes, we say, well, it's sad. It was this one's fault that this one died. It's his fault he died and so forth. But the reality is we're all going to die. We're all going to die. And then the judgment and eternity. There's only two choices, heaven or hell. And I promise you, you can't die and then figure out which one you're going to go to, heaven or hell. You don't get that privilege. There's no choice in that. No, my friend, see, to guarantee your future, you have to make a decision today. To guarantee where you're going to go when you die, you have to make a decision while you're living. Remember that Luke 16 was also another parable Jesus gave about a principle of planning for your future. Remember Lazarus died and went to the paradise, and the rich man died and in hell he lifted up his eyes and he was in torment. And he was instructed there, you can't ever get past. You had good things in life, that's what you chose, but here you're in hell and you can't get out. Now you're tormented. And Lazarus didn't have anything, and now Lazarus is in the paradise of God. But I want to leave you with this statement from the rich man. The rich man says, Abraham, will you send Lazarus to my five brothers and warn them so that they don't come to this place? And Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Abraham was teaching us a powerful principle. Rich man, you're in hell because you decided for your future. And your five brothers, they're going to be responsible for theirs as well. Ain't no going back. Those five men, they got the gospel. Somebody has given them the truth. Somebody has put it before them. Let them hear, because every single one of them, you cannot make a decision for somebody else. My friend, you can't go to heaven because you got a wonderful daddy and a wonderful mama who's going to heaven. I met a young man at the block party in Knoxville, began to share with him, and great young man, 17 years old. He began to engage him. He was telling me what a godly grandmother he had. And I want to tell you what, the more he told me about his grandmother, I was saying, thank God for grandmas like that. Thank God. And I told him with a smile, I said, man, your grandma's been telling you some good stuff. But I said, you can't get to heaven because who grandma is. You got to trust Christ yourself. And that young man bowed his head, received Christ at the block party there, left with a smile on his face. All that young man was doing was making the best decision he could ever make for his future. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? My friend, when you stand before God, you ain't going to blame this preacher. You ain't going to be able to blame nobody else, because you are responsible, personally responsible for your own eternal future. Let's bow for prayer today. Heads bowed, eyes closed.